Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. This is Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network, filling in for Steve Gruber all this week. This hour brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. The Army has decided to send Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl to a general court-martial where he will face two charges, desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. Bergdahl is the soldier who allegedly deserted his unit in Afghanistan and was held captive by the Taliban for nearly 5 years. The Army announced he will be arraigned for his court-martial next week. But there are some important facts to keep in mind regarding Bergdahl's case as we move forward with it. And there are some unique aspects of the military justice system that will help us understand that. Joining me on the line is Charles Cully Stimson, a leading expert on criminal law, military law, all things military. And he works at the Heritage Foundation Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. Welcome to the program.
Katie, thanks for having me.
No problem. First, what do we need to understand about the military justice system?
Well, and I appreciate you reading my intro there on my Daily Signal blog post on this. The military justice system is very similar in some ways to what we know from watching Law and Order or the civilian criminal justice system. We have a jury. The accused is presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by legal and competent evidence. He's entitled to a defense counsel, both a military defense counsel free of charge and a civilian defense counsel at no expense to the government. There's a prosecutor. It's open so the public can view it. And so it would look very similar to a regular trial somewhere there in Michigan at a regular superior court. Now, there are differences, too, and that's, I think, the thing that people are interested in.
And what are some of those differences?
Well, of course, all the lawyers are in uniform, except for the civilian lawyer. The trials tend to be shorter because military judges, and I'm a former military judge, tend to move things along. I don't rush justice, but these are not complicated cases for the most part we have in the military justice system. We have some. Bergdahl's case won't be that complicated. He either did or didn't leave his post with the intent to remain away permanently. That's desertion. And he either shamefully abandoned his post during a wartime in the presence of the enemy, or he didn't. Those are the facts of the case, and so any Michigan prosecutor could sort out how to prove that up, and it would take, the actual trial will take a couple of weeks at most.
You mentioned some of the overall details of the case, but I think what I'm hearing out there is there's a lot of confusion about what he did, what he didn't. Some of the people that served with him say one thing, then we're hearing mm-hmm. something else. So can you walk me through some of those confusing details?
Yeah, I think there's three big things here. One is you have to completely put to the side, when thinking about his court-martial, the fact that the administration traded five Taliban guys from Gitmo to get him back. That will have very little to do, if anything, to do with the court-martial. You may hate the deal, you may think the deal was fair, but that will have nothing to do with the court-martial. Number two, whether people went out to look for him, and they did, that's for sure, and whether anyone died as a result of it, and I think there's a debate on one side or the other. The defense says no, the government says yes, or some people in the government say yes. Will have nothing to do with the trial on the merits, in other words, whether he's guilty or not. If he's found guilty, then that would be part of the sentencing case, which, by the way, in the military justice system, we don't wait a week or two or a month or whatever for sentencing. If there's a guilty finding, literally the next day you go right to a sentencing phase, the second phase of the trial. And then that would be aggravating evidence that people were killed not mitigating evidence if no one was killed, but the defense will have an opportunity to put on mitigating evidence, too, for their sentence.
Well, it sounds like things are very efficient there.
They are. They are efficient, as you would hope. The taxpayer is paying the bill, and we get down to business. But it's, the judge's job in the military justice system, and these are active duty judge advocates general or reserve senior officers like me who are in the judge advocate general corps who've served on active duty many tours. Their job is to ensure that the trial is conducted in a fair and orderly manner, and they do. And a lot of them have a lot of military justice experience, or civilian and military justice experience in my case, and we move things along, but we give every side, especially the defense, their fair share of time to make their case.
What does the court there have to do to prove desertion, and how easy is that to do in a military case like this?
Yeah, so there are a lot of people currently charged with desertion. I don't want to say a lot compared to the entire military, but there are people charged with desertion every month in the military across all the services. You don't know their names. I don't know their names. The only reason we know Bergdahl's name is because of the Taliban 5. The government would have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt each and every element of the offense, which is that he willfully abandoned his post and intended to remain away permanently. End of story. If they can prove the specific intent that he intended to remain away permanently, and the jury is convinced beyond a reasonable doubt as to each element, boom, guilty. By the way, you don't have unanimity in juries in the military justice system. You only need two-thirds of the jurors to be convinced to convict. So there's no hung juries in the military, none. It's either two-thirds, find them guilty, or if you can't get the two-thirds, it's not guilty on that charge. The misbehavior before the enemy is a little bit different. It's the way they charge it is he shamefully abandoned his post in the presence of the enemy, and shameful is defined under military law. And so if they find that he abandoned his post in a war zone in the presence of the enemy, and they prove that beyond a reasonable doubt, then the jury must find him guilty. If they don't, the jury must find him not guilty.
What kind of punishment is Bergdahl facing if convicted?
Yeah, so the weird thing about the military justice system is we have hardly any mandatory minimum sentences. So believe it or not, even though he's facing a possible life sentence here, he's also facing a punishment of no punishment. If the jury decides, let's say they convict him, and then the defense puts on a bunch of stuff that says, yeah, he was held by the Haqqani network, an outgrowth of the Taliban, he was tortured, he did resist them, 5 years in this horrible hellhole, the jury could say, you know what, that's enough. And the conviction alone would serve as his sentence. They can also, in addition to incarceration, bust him down to E1, which is the lowest listed pay grade. They can take money away from him. They can discharge him from the military with a bad conduct or a dishonorable discharge, and those are the four possible punishments, and any combination thereof, by the way.
And what's your take on which direction this trial will go?
To trial. It's just totally unfair for me, given the fact that I'm still in the reserves as an appellate government counsel, and I've been an appellate defense counsel and a judge, to put my thumb on the scale. I think he's going to get a fair trial. I think that the judge will make sure of it. How it turns out is anyone's guess. I know people have opinions about it, but, you know, he's presumed innocent under the Constitution. I think conservatives like me believe in the rule of law and believe in that presumption of innocence unless he's proven guilty.
And if he is not found guilty of these charges, can he serve again? Or is his military career done?
He's done. He's going to get out of the military one way or the other, Katie. I mean, if he's found not guilty, they'll administratively process him. I'm sure he wants out of the military. That's what his defense lawyer says, and I believe Gene Seidel, who's the civilian defense counsel, he's a friend of mine. I'm sure Bergdahl wants out. So either way, at the end of the day, Bergdahl is getting out of the military.
Cully Stimson, excuse me, I can talk this morning. Cully Stimson, thank you so much for joining us, a legal expert or leading expert on criminal law and military law from the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Sure thing, Katie. Thank you.
You're welcome. This hour is brought to you by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. You're listening to Katie Hyde from the Michigan Talk Network, filling in all this week on The Steve Gruber Show.